أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. إن شاء الله everyone is doing well. We're here again with another session of Mizan Live. I want to welcome all of our brothers and sisters, inshallah, to another one of our live sessions. As we've mentioned before, inshallah, we'll be covering the rulings and the fatwa of Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei on the topic of fasting. Inshallah, we'll continue as we've been doing in the previous days. I'm not going to take too much time in introducing the program and things of that nature because we've done that in the past couple of days. As you know, this is a project being done by Mizan Institute, and inshallah, as we move forward, more information and insights will be provided as to what Mizan Institute is exactly and what its vision and mission is and the goals that it's trying to achieve. So Sheikh Amin was with you guys yesterday. Inshallah, I will continue with the topic that we were discussing on Friday, which was the topic of muftirat, the things that are going to break your fast, the things that are going to invalidate your fast. If you do find the content educational and beneficial, inshallah, please do make sure to like the Mizan Institute Facebook page that we have on Facebook. That way we can get the word out, inshallah. We can also update all of your brothers and sisters in terms of the upcoming programs that we will have, the courses that we have, and other, if inshallah we intend to do more Mizan live sessions in the future, we can also be updated about that as well. So what we're going to do for today, inshallah, I am going to go through a quick review of what we discussed on Friday, and then we will delve into the topic itself. Before I do that, allow me to very quickly make sure that I can see all of your comments here. Salam alaikum to everyone who said salam. There was one thing I wanted to do. Oh yes, I did want to remind you guys that please feel free to leave your questions and your comments, not only while the live stream is going on, also after the live stream is going on, you can leave your question, and inshallah we will get back to you with regards to the answer as much as we possibly can and our time allows. So let me do a quick review of what we had discussed yesterday. We had some feedback telling us that it would be better if we could get to our topic a little bit quicker, a little bit sooner. And inshallah, that is what I will be doing. Me as well as Sheikh Amin will try to get into the topic just a little bit quicker so that we can make sure we are covering the content that we plan to cover, inshallah. Review of what we discussed on Friday. First point that we discussed on Friday is that we said the first thing that is going to invalidate someone's fast is the idea of eating and drinking. But the important point that we mentioned there was that eating and drinking is only going to invalidate your fast if it's seen as eating and drinking in the common view, in the view of normal and common people. So if you technically consume something, but it's not considered eating and drinking in the eyes of normal people, then that is not going to break your fast. Now, when does that happen? Today, inshallah, as we discuss this topic, you will see there are certain times, certain situations where technically you are consuming something. Scientifically, something is entering your body or your stomach, right? But you will find the maraji will say that your fast is not batil in the situation because from the common view, people don't consider you eating or drinking anything. This is a very important concept to understand. It plays a role in multiple different places in fiqh, in jurisprudence. And I explained it in much detail on Friday, and I gave multiple examples about that. So that's the first point we covered on Friday. Second point that we covered on Friday was that if someone does end up carrying out one of these muftirat, again, we said muftirat basically means the invalidators of your fast. If you do actually do one of these invalidators and you do end up invalidating your fast, important thing to remember, and this is one point that I personally was very surprised when I learned about this, was that even though your fast technically is broken, still you will have to do what we call imsak. This imsak is different from the imsak that they do before Fajr. That's a different discussion. What we mean is that still you have to stay away from the things that are going to make your fast batil if you were still fasting. In other words, you're fasting and you decide to have a bite of the food. God forbid you do that. When you do that, even though your fast is batil, you have to do qadha and you have to perform kafara because you ate on purpose, right? Still until the end of the day, you are not allowed to continue eating. So you end up, someone like me might end up doing haram, sinning, and still you won't have the pleasure of being able to eat for the rest of the day. So that's the second point we covered. And that has to do with these muftirat that we're going through. Even if you commit them, doesn't mean your fast is over. It's not like namaz. In namaz, if God forbid, you break your namaz on purpose, right? Your namaz is done at that point. If you start talking on purpose during your namaz is done. After that, you can walk around, go, come, do whatever you like to do. But with these, we said that you still have to act as if you are fasting. And if we don't do that, it's like we're doing haram. Not like we're doing haram. We are doing haram. Okay. So that was the second point we covered Friday. Third point we covered Friday was that when we talk about eating and drinking, it covers those situations, even when what we are eating and drinking is not considered normal and common in the eyes of people, right? Sometimes people, normally what do they eat? They might eat bread or rice or the foods that we're used to. But according to the fatwa of our marajah, if you end up eating or swallowing something that people don't usually or normally eat or swallow, like a piece of paper, like a hair, like tonsil stones that we explained on Friday, this is also going to break your fast. So it doesn't matter if what you're eating and drinking is something that is common, people commonly eat or drink, or if it's something that is uncommon, basically. That's another point that we discussed on Friday. And the last point that we discussed on Friday was the idea of, forgive me, but mucus and the sinuses. And we said, according to Ayatollah Sistani's fatwa, it does not matter where this mucus is coming from, whether it's coming from the nose or it's coming from the chest. And it also does not matter whether this mucus makes its way into my mouth or it remains in the throat area. Regardless, it is not a problem if someone has to swallow it, that's not a problem and it's not going to break their fast. I do have to make this real quick point here that for those of you who follow Ayatollah Khamenei has ihtiyat wajib, that if it does make it into the the mouth, then you would have to spit it out and get rid of it. Okay, so for Ayatollah Khamenei, he says if it gets into your mouth, you have to spit it out. If not, it's just in your throat, you can swallow it. That's Ayatollah Khamenei. We want to make sure we're not mistaking these two with one another. Ayatollah Sistani, like I said, mucus is not a problem at all. I'm just doing it like that so we can all remember and keep that in our minds so that we don't forget, inshallah. Okay, so that's a quick review of what we did on Friday. There was one question that we did not get to discuss on Friday, and that question was this. Was a sister had asked whether it is allowed to change the intention while you are fasting. Okay, now the idea of changing the intention while fasting is a long discussion and it gets very detailed, and most times in fact it is not allowed, and I don't want to get into when it's allowed and when it's not allowed because it gets very technical and very detailed. The important thing is this: one of these situations where people ask this question, whether we're allowed to change the intention of our fasting, the most practical situation where it comes up is a situation where I get up in the morning and I decide that I want to do a mustahab fast, right? Or a roza sunnah, as some people call it, right? And I start doing this fast and then I realize while I'm doing this fast, I had a qada fast that I was supposed to make up for and I didn't do that. Now, what am I supposed to do in this situation, right? In this situation, as far as we have understood from reading the fatawa, If you are able to, if you understand that before Dhuhr time, then you have understood before Dhuhr time that this mustahab fast of yours is completely batil. It's done. You know that, right? So it's batil. It's as if you're not fasting anymore because you know you can't do a mustahab fast. Then you can initiate and start a qada fast of yours, right? Yes, I'm not sure if it was Sister Sukaina's question or another sister's. I think it was Sister Sukaina's, if I'm not mistaken. But so the point is here, you're not changing your intention from one fast to another, right? It's not like you were doing a mustahab fast and then you switched to a qada fast. No. The mustahab fast, you remember that mustahab fast is completely batil. Like you stop right there, right? And then you remember, oh, I have a qada fast. Because the intention to start a qada fast, you have time for it until Dhuhr to make that decision. You can start that qada fast from that point onwards. So, to wrap up the answer to the question, you wake up 8 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock in the morning. You say, okay, I'm going to fast a mustahab fast today. A couple hours pass by, 11:30, you say, uh-oh, I can't do a mustahab fast today. I have qada fast that I still have to make up for. You say, okay, this mustahab fast of mine is done. It's completely batil. Let me start a qada fast from right now. That you should be able to do. It's not going to be a problem. So again, this is different from changing your intention during the fast, right? That's a different situation. That's where the fast is correct, and then you switch it to another fast. That's not what we're talking about. We said that most of the times it's not going to be allowed. All right. So that was one of the questions that was asked and that we didn't get to. Yes. All right. So let's start with our own topic. Inshallah, if you guys have questions, please send in your questions today. We will be wrapping up our discussion regarding the idea of eating and drinking. Everything that had to do with the invalidator of your fast, that has to do with eating and drinking, we will be covering fully, inshallah, today, and we'll be done with it. And we actually move on to the second invalidators of your fast. Just to again build a little bit of suspense, yes, build a little bit of suspense, as I mentioned the other time. There is one of the muftarat that Ayatollah Sistani does not consider a muftir. And we will discuss that, inshallah, in the near future. I was tempted to just mention that right now, but I thought maybe we build a little bit of suspense and that hopefully, that way we'll be looking forward to it, inshallah. All right, let's dive into the idea of eating and drinking, the rest of the discussion that we have that is going to break our fast. The first ruling that we have to read is this: eating and drinking, and this is something that most people are actually aware of already. Eating and drinking accidentally, brothers and sisters, is not going to break your fast. Okay, let's put it very simple and very clear. So, and it doesn't matter how much I end up eating, if I was not aware, if I wasn't paying attention, if I forgot it was the month of Ramadan, that is not going to break my fast. Even if I have a full meal, although that is very rare, right? But even if you end up having a full meal, if you forgot it was the month of Ramadan, then there is nothing to worry about. The moment you do remember, you will have to stop eating. And if there's food left in your mouth, you're not allowed to swallow that. You have to grab that food and, spit it out or whatever the case may be. And that is going to be basically your fast is going to be completely fine. And just to emphasize, there is no kafara and there is no qada either. So, if you eat accidentally, it's not a problem. Just a couple days ago at our masjid, we were preparing, helping out to prepare some of the stuff for the iftar. And there was a little, someone was cutting the cheese, and they were cutting the cheese, a little piece came off of it, they put it in their mouth, and it was still 5 minutes before Adhan, right? So, that's not a problem. Also, if you see someone else eating or drinking, and you feel like the reason why they're eating and drinking is probably because they forgot it's the month of Ramadan, it is not wajib for you necessarily to go out and tell them and remind them that, oh, it's a month of Ramadan, you shouldn't be eating anything, you shouldn't be doing this, right? So it's not wajib for you. The only time where it might be something good to mention in a very cautious manner, brothers and sisters. When you bring up issues like this with other brothers and sisters, you have to be cautious, you have to be as kind as you can, you have to have your best akhlaq when you're dealing with a situation like this. If you do see someone eating, and this person is the type of person who usually they do pay attention to this stuff, and now they're eating in the month of Ramadan, if it's in public and it's creating a problem in public, because like it's the month of Ramadan and people are like, oh, this brother's eating and drinking in the community, then that is maybe a situation where you approach that person, and it's probably because he doesn't remember. You say, oh brother, I hate to have to remind you, but you know, it's the month of Ramadan, remember? So like, no eating or drinking. But again, I mean, I don't want to make this into an akhlaqi class or anything like that, but you have to be very cautious, very careful how you approach another individual when you want to tell them what they're doing is wrong. That's, of course, a topic for itself and for another time, right? All right, so up until now, what we established is that eating and drinking, if it's done accidentally, it's not a problem. Let me read the ruling off of the book, and then I will get to the question that Brother Ali Abidi has mentioned for us. Tatmim, this is page 304 from Minhaj al-Salihin, volume 1. المفترات المذكورة إنما تفسد الصوم إذا وقعت على وجه العمد والاختيار. These things that we mentioned only break your fast if you do them. What he's talking about, what we mentioned, is these مفترات that we're talking about, these invalidators. They only invalidate your fast if they are done on purpose. There is a small point about one of the مفترات that we will get to. I don't want to get into it right now because I don't want to prolong the topic too much. But yes, if as long as you're not doing something on purpose, then that is not going to break your fast, as this fatwa says. All right, let me take a look at the question here real quick. Salaam alaikum, Hajallah. So it is not valid to do a mustahab fast when one has a wajib fast they need to make up, correct? Yes, absolutely, that is correct. If one does a mustahab fast without remembering they had a wajib fast, then is the mustahab fast valid? Very good question, Brother Ali from Houston. We covered this before. The answer is no. If you do a mustahab fast and you didn't remember that you had a qada fast, your mustahab fast, although God is going to reward you at the end of the day because you did something for Him, but it's not going to count as part of your qada fast. You still have to make up for that qada fast, like we mentioned. Is it permissible, this is a question from Sister Zainab, is it permissible to eat in public in the month of Ramadan? That's a very good question and a very delicate question. So I'm going to try to answer it in as much of a delicate way that I can, possibly. The answer is, eating in public is not allowed because it breaks the respect and the hurma that we have about the month of Ramadan. Okay? So if someone, let's say for example, someone is not fasting. Let's say someone is traveling. It happens all the time. Someone is traveling. If you are traveling and you want to have something, go find a place. Go sit in your car somewhere in some random parking lot where no one is there and have your meal or whatever you want to do. Don't come in the community and do that, because the sense, and this is something that's mentioned by our ulama as well, that there's a sense of, you know, it's an atmosphere of the month of Ramadan, and you don't want to break that. So that's the answer to that question. Sister Annie, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm not mispronouncing the name, please mention about brushing your teeth. It's a basic hygiene issue, and bad breath is a big problem during Ramadan and reflects poorly during interactions. I will get to that, Sister Annie, in today's session. We will definitely discuss that, inshallah. So we'll get to that. Brushing and flossing. One question we'll have is whether it's allowed or not. Another question we have is it wajib to do that before Fajr, you know, before you start your fast? So we'll get to that in just a second. Okay. Moving on to the second ruling. And this ruling that I'm about to mention, brothers and sisters, is going to make life a lot easier if you didn't already know it. Again, this is something that when I learned it, it made my life a lot easier. And that is this, brothers and sisters. Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei, both of them have this ruling that the taste of something that is in your mouth is not going to break your fast. If that taste is not because there are particles of food left in your mouth. So what do I mean by that? Let's say, for example, you're fasting. This is one example, and then I'll give you some more examples as well. Let's say you're fasting, and while you're fasting, you want to taste the food. Maybe you're making food for iftar, and you just want to taste the food. Make sure it tastes proper. It tastes like, you know, maybe it's the pakora that you're making, and you want to make sure that it's 100% genuine, legitimate pakora. And you pick up a little bit of this, and you put it in your mouth, and you taste it. Okay, so when you feel that taste, that is fine, as long as then you rinse your mouth and you get rid of the food that is in your mouth. Okay. Now, where does this play a role? It plays a role in a number of places. One of them is what Sister Annie was just asking a couple minutes ago. When you brush your teeth while you are fasting, of course, when you brush your teeth, you're going to rinse your mouth, right? Once you rinse your mouth, brothers and sisters, the taste of the toothbrush that is left in your mouth, that's not really from the toothbrush itself, from the toothpaste itself, it's just from the taste of the toothpaste, that is not going to create a problem for your fasting. Same thing applies to mouthwash. Sometimes when you use mouthwash, right? You use a mouthwash, even after you rinse your mouth a couple times, three or four times, if you want to like be very conventional, or conservative, I should say. Still, you will feel a little bit of the taste of that mouthwash in your mouth. That is not going to be a problem. Now, some people might say, well, brother, if there's a taste in your mouth, then that means there's got to be some substance of that thing that was in your mouth, and that's where the taste is coming from. The answer we give to that question is what we discussed on Friday, that yes, although the taste of the food means technically and scientifically there are some particles of the food in your mouth, but people do not consider that eating and drinking. Okay? So this is why our maraja are giving this fatwa, that the taste of food is not going to break your fast. Where does this play a role? Brother Ayman, I will get to your question in just a minute. Where does this play a role? This plays a big role, brothers and sisters, before Fajr, where sometimes you'll see people will rinse their mouth, and then while they are rinsing their mouth, they'll be in the bathroom for 20 minutes. What is this person trying to do in these 20 minutes? This person is in the bathroom for 20 minutes, forgive me, he is spitting and spitting and spitting. Sometimes what happens is that one family member will take up the bathroom, everyone else, sometimes it's chaos before Fajr is coming. Everyone is running around and why? Because this one person wants to get rid of every little bit of taste in his mouth. And what is that doing? That's creating problems for everyone else. When you rinse your mouth three or four times, and again, I'm being conservative with the three or four times, you have gotten all the food out of your mouth, okay? And when you have done that, then the taste of the food that remains in your mouth is not a problem. The taste of the toothpaste that remains in your mouth is not a problem. The taste of the mouthwash that remains in your mouth after you have rinsed your mouth, of course, is not going to create a problem. So, along the lines of what Sister Annie was saying, please, brothers and sisters, we do have hadith that during the month of Ramadan, the smell of the mouth of someone who is fasting is considered great and beautiful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have hadith for this. But that doesn't mean that we go around and you speak to people and you pronounce every word with a H in it and a big H in it, right? Say, hello, how are you? We don't want to do that, right? Just because it smells good in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't mean it's going to smell good in the eyes of other people as well. So, what can you do? Well, there's certain things that you can do. Brushing is going to help. Mouthwash is going to help. And just generally having a hand in front of your mouth is going to help. None of these are going to break your fast, and none of these are a problem for your fasting. Okay. So that was the second issue that I wanted to cover, the issue of the taste of food. Okay, let me scroll down with the comments, because we had a couple of questions here, and I want to make sure that I am going to be able to get to them. One second, let me get to these comments real quick. All right, there we go. That's better. So, yes. Let me scroll down real quick. Okay, so we answered Sister Annie's. Brother Ayman, I'm sorry, not sister. Brother Ayman asked, what if you're not in a pure state after Imsak, but before sunrise you do ghusl? Is your fast valid for that day? Yes, brother. If you, as long as you're in a pure state for Fajr, then that is not going to create a problem for your fast. Sister Zarina, if I'm not mispronouncing. Salam Shaykh, wa alaikum salam. When we do wudu, some water is still left on your tongue. If it gets in with saliva, is it okay? Yes, it is absolutely okay. Actually, now that you asked that question, let me cover the next topic before we continue, next ruling before we continue with the questions. The next issue is swallowing saliva. We all know that swallowing saliva is not a problem, right? Obviously, you would die if you're not swallowing saliva, right? So we know that. But the question that comes to mind is, what if there's a lot of saliva in my mouth, right? The answer is, that is not going to break your fast. Also, if saliva leaves your mouth and then you place that saliva again in your mouth, for example, you're brushing your teeth, there's a little bit of saliva on your toothbrush, obviously, and then you put it back in your mouth. If there is so much saliva on it that when you put it back in your mouth, that saliva does not dissolve into your mouth, it doesn't become part of the saliva that's already in your mouth, then yes, it is going to break your fast. But if that's not the case, no, it is not going to break your fast. Same thing applies to rinsing your mouth. You might rinse your mouth. Once you're done rinsing your mouth, as Sister Zarina mentioned, you will have a little bit of water left in your mouth. If that little bit of water is so little that if you move your tongue around a little bit, it will get dissolved into your saliva, that is not going to break your fast. And 99% of the time, that is the case. Unless you are intentionally like keeping some water in your mouth, then that's obviously going to break your fast if you swallow that. But the little bit of water that remains in your mouth, that is not going to break your fast. Because why? Let's make sure we learn why. Because it is going to get dissolved in your mouth and it's going to be part of the saliva of your mouth. So that's not a problem. Let's say you're walking. I know this sounds like a little bit of a rare example. Let's say you're walking, it's raining. I remember like when I was a couple years I remember in high school when I was fasting, this is a question I actually had. When you're fasting and you're walking and it's raining and you open mouth, a couple drops of rain drop into your mouth. Is that going to break your fast? Absolutely not, because that is going to get dissolved into your mouth and that is not going to be a problem. Forgive me, I'm mentioning this. I'm pretty sure it's going to get rid of the appetite that you have. Sometimes the saliva that gets around our mouths, right? That's also a problem. If someone happens to, you know, take that in with their tongue, again, because that's getting dissolved into their mouth with their saliva that's already in their mouth, that is not going to break their fast, right? So, yes, if it does not get dissolved in the saliva of your mouth and it's like you're swallowing something else other than your normal saliva in your mouth, then yes, it is going to break your fast. So I hope that is clear, inshallah. Good, so we covered that other ruling. Let me actually read that ruling real quick. It is ruling 984 from Minhaj al-Salihin. لا بأس بابتلاء البصاق المجتمع في الفم. You can swallow the saliva that has gathered in your mouth. وإن كان كثيرا, even if there's a lot of it. وكان اجتماعه باختياره, even if you intentionally let it gather in your mouth. كتذكر الحامض مثلا. Like for example, if someone tries to think of sour things or delicious things, right? Pakora. You think pakora and like the saliva is just... it's just going crazy. It's okay if there's a lot and you have to swallow that. So we covered that. Let me go back to the questions real quick. We answered Sister Zarina's question. Brother Qambar. How are you, Brother Qambar? Long time no see. Salam Shaykhana wa alaikum assalam. Forwarding as received, I was eating. I thought I still had time for Fajr and later realized Fajr had passed already. What do I do in this situation? Is my fast valid? This is a question that Sheikh Amin answered, I believe, in the second session that he had, about situations where you continue eating and then after you're eating, you find out that it is the time for namaz. So you will have to refer to that to find the answer to that question. Because to be honest with you, it had some details, and I don't want to mention the details. I can't remember them precisely right now, and I don't want to give you the wrong answer. So if you go to the second session, I think I believe it was, about situations where you count on istishab, you say, well, I'm not sure the time of Fajr has come yet, and so I'm going to continue eating. That is, so what I will do, because going back to this second session is going to be a little difficult, we will look this up and we will have the answer for it tomorrow, inshallah. We will definitely cover that, Brother Qambar. Do we have any more questions? Yes, Sister Bibi Fatima is asking, if you miss a prayer while fasting, will your fast become invalid? No, absolutely not. Yes, Brother Ali has mentioned what we had mentioned. Yes, and Brother Ahmed says, beef samosas are better than pakoras, just saying. I don't know. Maybe not. All right. So moving on to the next issue, the next ruling that we want to cover, that is the idea of the mouth when it starts bleeding. This is also an issue that we have. What are we supposed to do when the mouth starts bleeding? Now, from what I remember, it is not particularly mentioned in the rulings of Ayatollah Sistani, so I won't be reading this off of the book itself. But I remember we checked this, that when the mouth starts bleeding, brothers and sisters, if the bleeding is so little that before it gets to your throat, it's going to get dissolved in your mouth, then that is not going to break your fast. Very similar to the idea of the saliva that we were just discussing 15-20 minutes ago, the same thing applies here. So if that bleeding is so little that it gets dissolved in your mouth. Let's say you're flossing, and the floss really is a little cut in your gums, right? And because of that, your mouth starts bleeding. Again, if it gets dissolved in your mouth, which is usually the case, then that is not going to be a problem for your fasting. And you also don't need to wash your mouth either. Now, that's a separate ruling for a separate time. If it sounds a little weird to you right now, that's fine. If you feel like rinsing the mouth too, that's completely fine too. There's no problem about that. So because that has to do with najasat and taharat, and I don't want to get into that right now because it's a little bit, it has some details that we need to explain for it to be clear for everyone. But the point is, if the blood dissolves into your mouth, there's not going to be a problem there. However, if there is a lot of blood coming out of your gum, for example, in your mouth, then obviously you will have to rinse your mouth, and sometimes you will have to do that continuously. If you are bleeding profusely, then that's going to be not profusely, like, you know, really bleeding, but, you know, if like it's continuing and you can feel it in your throat and it's not getting dissolved in your mouth, in the saliva of your mouth, then you would have to rinse your mouth. One question, there was a ruling that I wanted to mention here. When we mentioned the issue of bleeding inside of the mouth, another question that comes up is this, brothers and sisters, that when I don't know why exactly, but it has turned into one of those things that a lot of people think and assume, but it's not really true. That is this: some people, for whatever reason, they think that if there is blood removed from you while you are fasting, that is going to invalidate your fast. And now, because I'm discussing bleeding with the mouth, let me also mention this right here. Brothers and sisters, this is not going to invalidate your fast. It is not going to break your fast. Therefore, if I go to the dentist, and the dentist, obviously, whatever a dentist does, there's going to be some bleeding in there, right? That is not going to break my fast just because it's bleeding, right? Also, if you say, oh, I'm going to go to the dentist, there's a chance I might swallow something, just because there's a chance you're going to swallow something is not going to break your fast. Yes, if you are sure you are going to swallow something, that will break your fast. So that is a ruling with regards to going to the dentist. If the blood they take from you, or they cause bleeding, or whatever the case may be, that is not going to break your fast. In terms of you swallowing stuff, as long as you are not sure that you are going to end up swallowing something, then that is not going to break your fast either. Yes, someone might say, brother, you know what? At the end of the day, I know when I go to the dentist, I am going to end up swallowing something. Okay, If that's the case, then you will probably have to delay that dentist appointment if it's not absolutely necessary. If it is necessary, then you can go ahead and do that. But it will still break your fast, right? It's not going to be haram because it's necessary, but it still is going to break your fast. The reason why a lot of people maybe think that if they remove blood from your body, it is going to break your fast is because this is in fact a makruh. Okay, so let me read right off of this is actually from Tahrir al-Wasila, and but we also have it in Minhaj al-Salihin. So let me just read off of Minhaj al-Salihin now that we're going based off of Ayatollah Sistani's fatwa. In Mas'ala 1013, page 304 from Minhaj al-Salihin, he says, if you move down a little bit, وإخراج الدم المضعف. If someone does something that he removes blood from his body to a degree where removing that blood makes him weak, المضعف. It gives him ضعف. It makes him weak. That is going to be makruh. It's not going to break his fast. Ayatollah Khamenei or Imam Khomeini in Tahrir al-Wasila, he says, كما أنه يكره نزع الضرس بل مطلق ما فيه إدماء. Anything that you do that causes bleeding is going to be makruh. Especially, not especially, also if you are removing a tooth, that is going to be makruh as well. So this is makruh, it is not going to break your fast. Let me take a quick look at the comments that we had. Yes, after the samosas and all that stuff. Sister Annie, very difficult. Are you supposed to break your fast? Yes. A very good brother Ali has mentioned that Sheikh Amin has covered this in day two in detail. So, Sister Annie, if you could please take a look at the recording that we have on the Mizan Institute Facebook page. Hopefully, that will provide your answer. If it doesn't, no problem. You can leave a comment or a question, and inshallah, we'll get back to you and provide the answer to that question. Before I continue, I just do want to remind the brothers and sisters that inshallah, if the content is educational and it's beneficial, please do remember to like the Mizan Institute Facebook page. Inshallah, that will help a lot in spreading the message. Moving on, the next issue that we have is brushing, or the next ruling that we want to cover is brushing and flossing while someone is brushing and flossing before Fajr comes. So let me explain what I mean by that. A lot of people, including some of our own relatives, they believe that when Fajr is going to come, when we're done with Sahur and they're about to say Adhan in like 5 or 6 minutes or 2 or 3 minutes, they believe that they have to go and start flossing and brushing their teeth. Question is this wajib or not? What if there's a chance that throughout the day I will actually swallow some of the food that's left in my teeth, especially if you're eating right up until a couple minutes before Fajr, which I'm sure some of the brothers are doing. So the question is, do I have to go and floss and brush if there's a chance I'm going to end up swallowing the food? You know, obviously we mean the food that's left in your teeth, on your teeth and around your teeth or between your teeth or whatever the case may be. The answer to this question, according to Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei, is that such a thing is not necessary. Not necessary in the sense that it is not wajib. Meaning, if there is a chance I will swallow this food, I'm not 100% sure I'm going to swallow this food. There's simply a chance that I will swallow this food during the day. Then I do not have to floss and I do not have to brush in the sense that it is not wajib to do this. Otherwise, it's obviously always good to brush and floss, especially before you're going to do namaz. We have multiple ahadith about that. But what we're saying is that it's not going to be wajib because basically you are not sure that you are going to end up swallowing the food. Okay. Yes, if someone says, you know what, I'm sure I'm going to end up swallowing that food, the particles of the food that are left in my mouth, I know that for a fact. Then, yes, it is going to be wajib for you to do anything that you have to do in order to remove that food from your mouth. So let me read right off of the ruling of Ayatollah Sistani. Just to give you a little bit of context, when I mean that you're not sure you're going to end up swallowing the food, sometimes people will say, you know what, there is food left in my teeth. But you know, there's a very good chance that throughout the day, if it comes loose, I'll realize that and I'll spit it out, for example. Or sometimes people might say, you know what, there might be some food left in my teeth, but it's not going to come loose. Or there's a chance it won't come loose throughout the day, you know? So as long as you have a doubt, it's not wajib for you to floss and brush. But if you're sure you're going to end up swallowing food, then yes, you absolutely do have to brush and floss. So take a look at this ruling right here. Ruling 982 on page 298 from Minhaj al-Salihin. As you're aware, we're actually going from one ruling to a different ruling because the sequence that the rulings have in the book actually are slightly different from the sequence that we want to discuss the rulings based on. So just FYI. Ruling 982, لا يجب التخليل بعد الأكل لمن يريد الصام. It is not wajib for someone to floss after having had sahur, after akil. لمن يريد الصوم وإن احتمل أن تركه يؤدي إلى دخول البقايا بين الأسنان في حلقه. Even if there is a chance that the food that is in between his teeth are going to end up being swallowed by him. ولا يبطل صومه لو دخل بعد ذلك سهوان. And if in fact the food does get swallowed by him سهوان, like involuntarily, still that is not going to break his fast. نعم لو علم أن تركه يؤدي إلى ذلك وجب عليه التخليل. Yes, if he's sure that not flossing or brushing is going to lead to him swallowing the food, he's sure about that, then yes, he does have to in fact do so. All right, that was another point that we wanted to cover. Let me see if we have any new questions. Sister Huma, if it's samosa, you can swallow all day. I'm not sure what Sister Huma is referring to, a very dear community member of ours. Let's move on to the next ruling. This next ruling has to do with, it's a very important ruling, has to do with using medicine throughout the day. By medicine, I mean medicine that someone is going to use with their mouth, medicine that someone might apply to their ears, their eyes, medicine that someone is going to have as an injection, right, like a shot, or IV fluids. We had promised that we would discuss this in this session, last session, so let's get to that real quick. Let's start from here, brothers and sisters. The idea of medicine, I believe Sheikh Amin has discussed this before, that if you are sick and you have to take medicine because you are in extreme discomfort, or it's because it's going to prolong the time of you becoming better. Those three categories, if you remember, that Sheikh Amin mentioned that he was discussing. If you are going to take something through your mouth, obviously that is going to break your fast. It doesn't mean you did something haram because you were sick and you had to take the pill, but it is going to break your fast. Okay, so that's clear. Medicine that someone applies to the ear and someone applies through the eye, even if somehow it makes its way into the throat, that is not going to break your fast. Okay, so the ear and the eye. I have to make sure I'm using the right names for the right parts of the face. Yesterday I was explaining this ruling somewhere else, and I said, oh, the medicine you apply through your eye and your nose, and so I have to be careful of that. Okay. So up until here, what we covered is the mouth. Anything you take through the mouth is going to break your fast. Anything that you take through the eye or the ear is not going to break your fast. What is left is two things. Number one is the nose, as in the case of nasal sprays sometimes, right? We take nasal sprays for multiple different reasons. Or if you are going to take a shot or an injection or an IV fluid in your arm or wherever other part of your body it may be, is that going to break your fast? With regards to the nose, yes, according to Ayatollah Sistani. If you use it, now please pay attention, we're not saying anything that you put into your nose, it's going to break your fast. Please pay attention. We're saying that if you put something into your nose and it makes its way all the way down to the throat, then that is going to be a problem, which is rarely the case. It's very rare that it will actually make its way all the way down to your throat. Although it's possible sometimes with nasal sprays, if you're using them, sometimes if you do it really hard and you breathe in really hard, you will feel them, feel it in your throat. So if that is the case, that is going to break your fast, right? I'm gonna read off of the ruling of Ayatollah Sistani in just a second, right? So that is with regards to the nose. If it makes its way to the throat, then that is going to break your fast. Now, what is left from the idea of medicines and things of that nature is shots and injections and IV fluids. This issue is actually one of those issues that you will find amongst our fuqaha and our maraji, is one of those situations where they have quite a bit of difference of opinion on. Of course, we are only discussing the rulings of Ayatollah Sistani and Ayatollah Khamenei, but when you look at the fatawa of our other maraji, you find that they also have slight differences of opinion with regards to this issue. Let me go through Ayatollah Sistani's fatwa first, and then Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwa. What does Ayatollah Sistani say? Ayatollah Sistani has made it very easy. He says that regardless of what type of shot or injection or IV fluid even you are using, that this is not going to break your fast. This is going to come as a little bit maybe as a shock for some of us, because IV fluids may actually make the fasting a little bit easier for you throughout the day. But this is the ruling of Ayatollah Sistani. So this is one of those places where I want to make sure I read off of the book just so that we're clear and there's no, hopefully there's no room for doubt, because it is something that might seem a little uncommon to us. All right, so let me read from here. وَأَمَّا, this is ruling 985, but I'm not going to read from the beginning. I'm going to read from the last three lines of the fatwa. Page 299 from Minhaj al-Salihin. وَأَمَّا إِدْخَالُ الدَّوَاءُ وَنَحْوُهُ كَالْمُغَذِّي بِالْإِبْرَةِ. But inserting dawa, medicine, كَالْمُغَذِّي, the type of medicine that gives you strength, right? Nutritions, stuff like that. بِالْإِبْرَةِ فِي الْعَذُلَةِ أَوِ الْوَرِيدِ. If you're using a needle to insert this into your body, فِي الْعَذُلَةِ, whether it's going into your muscle or it's going into your vein, doesn't matter. فلا بأس به. وكذا تقطير الدواء. فلا بأس به means there's no problem with it. Therefore, shots, injections, IV fluid, not a problem with it at all. وكذا تقطير الدواء في العين أو الأذن. ولو ظهر أثره من اللون أو الطعم في الحلق. Also, if you do it in your ear, in your eye, even if you feel it in your throat somehow, that is not going to break your fast. Okay, so therefore, IV fluid shots and injections are not a problem. That might seem a little uncommon to us, because I know some of the brothers right now, what they're thinking is that, yes, tomorrow I'm going to lie down for 8 hours. I'm going to have IV in my arm. And I'm going to be, you know, fasting while I have IV in my arm. So hopefully you're not thinking of that. If you don't need the IV, I hope you're not thinking of that. But nonetheless, it is not going to break your fast, according to Ayatollah Sistani. Now, this was Ayatollah Sistani's ruling. According to Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling, let me mention this point real quick, because I see some of the brothers and sisters might have questions. How does that make sense? Again, this goes back to that principle I mentioned at the very beginning, that Ayatollah Sistani, he says, eating and drinking, if it is done in such a way that normal people consider it eating and drinking, that is going to break your fast. Not if you are technically and scientifically eating or drinking something. When you have IV fluid in your arm, when you have a shot or an injection in your arm, people don't say, oh, he's eating, like, I don't know, antibiotics. He's drinking IV fluid. They don't say that, right? Amongst normal people, they will say, yeah, he's taking IV fluid, but they don't call it eating and drinking. So that's where I don't want to get too technical, but that's a little bit of the background of why that is the ruling here. That's why I emphasized on this point before we started getting into the eating and drinking section, because as I mentioned multiple times, this is going to have multiple implications as we move forward. This is why Ayatollah Sistani says the ear and the nose does not create a problem for your fasting, because when he looks at that, he says no one considers that eating and drinking. Okay, so This was Ayatollah Sistani's. For Ayatollah Khamenei, real quick, Ayatollah Khamenei's ruling is slightly different. And he's sort of, basically he's saying, I have not reached a conclusive, a definitive conclusion with regards to the idea of shots and injections. So what does he say? He says this. He says, if you are taking shots and injections, and these shots and injections are going either, they're going into your vein, or they're the type of shots and injections that are going to give you strength and nutrition to carry on, that according to ihtiyat wajib, according to obligatory precaution, that is going to create a problem for your fasting. However, if you're taking shots and injections that do not fall under one of these two categories, they're not going in your vein, and they're not going to make you stronger. They're just used to, for example, numb a certain part of your body. They are used, for example, as antibiotics, for example, right? They're medicine, for example. Things of that nature, that is not going to break your fast. So hopefully we are clear on that with regards to medicine and things of that nature. Let me take a quick look. I believe we have quite a bit of questions here. Okay. What about if you have a cold and constant post-nasal drainage? I'm not sure, to be honest with you, I'm not sure what Sister Annie is referring to. So if you could post your question again with a little bit more explanation. I'm not sure if you're referring to the idea of, forgive me, mucus and stuff like that, because we already covered that. We said according to Ayatollah Sistani, that is not a problem in any form or fashion. Regardless of whether it makes its way into your mouth or not, it's coming from the nose or from the chest upwards, it's not a problem to swallow that. So I'm not sure if that's what the sister is referring to. Brother Ali Rizvi is asking, if you are fasting and you are force-fed, will it break your fast? If so, would kafara have to be given since it was not intentional? No, that is not going to break your fast. If you were had earlier on in the session, we covered this. We said, المفترات المذكورة إنما تفسد الصوم إذا وقعت على وجه العمد والاختيار. If it happens, yes, one second. I'm sorry. It will break your fast. If you are force-fed, it will break your fast. But there will not be any kafara, because kafara is usually for places where you intentionally did something. So just so that we're sure, let me read right off of Minhaj al-Salihin. Ruling 10.14, this is for the answer of Brother Ali Rizvi's question. إِذَا أُكْرِهَ الصَّائِمُ عَلَى الْأَكْلِ أَوِ الشُّرْبِ أَوِ الْجِمَاءِ فَأَفْتَرَ بِهِ بَتَلَ سَوْمُهُ. That is going to break his fast. Yes. Okay. Sister Huma, okay. Sheikh, this is Brother Asad asking this question. Sheikh, what about through the skin? For example, nicotine patches. Again, same thing applies. It will not break your fast. Goes back to that same principle that Ayatollah Sistani and our other Maraji, well, I can't say all of the Maraji, but Ayatollah Khamenei and Ayatollah Sistani both believe in, that eating and fasting that will break your fast is the type of eating and drinking that is seen amongst people as eating and drinking. So when you have a nicotine patch on, no one says, oh, brother, you're eating nicotine. No one says that. Although technically, yes, you are consuming nicotine. All same thing applies to applying any sort of cream on your hand or anything like that. Again, brothers, don't start thinking about coming up with this cream that when you apply it has a bunch of, Gatorade something in it, gives you electrolytes so that you can continue fasting. Hopefully no one is thinking about that. Oh yes, asthma inhalers. Very good. Brother Ali has actually answered that question. So let me actually make that the last point that we are going to discuss. With asthma inhalers, it is not going to be a problem to use them. Ayatollah Khamenei has made it very clear that it is not a problem to use asthma inhalers while you're fasting. Even if you're not forced to, it's not going to break your fast. So that's that. For Ayatollah Sistani, he has a very similar fatwa. He says that because when you use the asthma inhalers, the air or whatever you want to call it from the asthma inhaler, goes into your lung, it does not create a problem for your fasting. Okay? Yes, if someone is sure that when they use the asthma inhaler, a part of that powder or whatever gets into, goes throat, down their throat and goes into their stomach, yes, that will break your fast. But usually people don't know that for sure. At the very least, they have a doubt. They're not sure. Is it going down my throat into my stomach, or is it just going into my lung as I would normally expect? So as even if you have a doubt about that, that is not going to break your fast, according to Ayatollah Sistani. So asthma inhalers, basically, they're not going to be a problem unless you are sure that this powder is making its way where? Into your stomach. All right. So I am actually done with the things that I wanted to discuss. Yes, I am done with the things that I wanted to discuss, and we're almost done. So this last 5 minutes, let me just quickly go through the questions that we might have. Sister Sukaina Mamdani is asking, Salam Sheikh, wa alaikum as-salam. What about perfume you might accidentally inhale? No, that is not going to create a problem. Unless you inhale it in such a way where you feel it in your throat, that is not going to be a problem. Most times when accidentally you inhale perfume, if you do feel it in your mouth, then if you move your tongue around a little bit in your saliva and the taste goes away or that feeling goes away, then that's it. It is already dissolved into the saliva of your mouth and you have nothing to worry about. If it doesn't, like you really, really, it was a lot of a cologne or perfume or whatever it is, might be a brother, might be a sister, doesn't matter. If that's the case and it's a lot where you can actually still feel it in your mouth, then you might want to go and rinse it out just to make sure, right? Because swallowing that will break your fast. But 99% of the time, it's really not that much. But I completely understand what you're referring to because it happens sometimes. You might use a cologne or in the air, you want to walk into it, or with brothers, they might do that, or whatever the case may be. There are times where it does get into your mouth. So, but like I said, if it gets dissolved into your mouth, which is usually the case, 99% of the time that's the case, then that's not going to create a problem for your fasting. Okay, so I think we covered all of this. Sister Afarin, what about cannabis oil for medicinal purposes? Is that permitted? Sister Afarin, I really don't know, to be honest with you. This is my ignorance, of course. I don't know what they use that oil for. I don't know how they apply it. But if it's being applied over the skin, that's not going to be a problem. If it's applied through, I doubt it's applied through the eye, but just to go through the rulings one more time, if it's applied through the eye or the ear, it's not going to be a problem. The only situation where it is going to be a problem, according to Ayatollah Sistani, is that if it is placed through the nose and someone feels it in their throat, or if they take it through the mouth. Otherwise, that's not going to be a problem. I have to actually look up cannabis oil. I really don't know what that is. Brother Asad, what about smoking? If the smoke goes into lungs and not stomach, does that rule apply? Brother Asad, inshallah, the next session that I will have, we will talk all about swallowing thick dust and thick smoke. We will get to that, inshallah, in our next live session. The next live session that I have, because that's not the topic that Sheikh Amin will be discussing. So when I get to that, we will discuss that, inshallah. But to answer, just so you understand the difference, no, it's very different there, because the idea of there being thick dust and thick smoke is a different thing than the asthma inhaler thing, right? This is thick dust and thick smoke that we are talking about. So maybe even if it just makes its way into your lungs, it might be a problem. So we'll get to that and we'll discuss that. But the point I'm trying to mention is that it's different from asthma inhalers. Okay. So that was that. Brother Kamran, that's not a question. You may need poison control. That's true. And Sister Kazima Wajahat, Salam Sheikh, Wa Alaikum Salam. Chapstick, lip balms, if the taste goes in your mouth, does it fall under the same ruling as for the toothpaste situation? Yes, absolutely. If you move your tongue around a little bit and it gets dissolved into your mouth, then that is not going to be a problem at all. All right. I think we moved a lot faster today, with a lot more speed today. And alhamdulillah, we were able to cover quite a bit. So inshallah, next session that I will be having, we will be discussing the rest of the muftarat. But in particular, what we will be discussing is, number one, attributing lies or saying something false about the Prophet or God or the Imams. One thing we'll discuss. The idea of thick dust and thick smoke, we will discuss that inshallah. And also another one of the invalidators of fasting, the idea of, forgive me, throwing up. Another one that we will discuss. So we will discuss those three, and then if we get time, we will discuss more as well, because we do want to inshallah continue a little bit faster. Like I mentioned, we had that in the feedback. Before I end inshallah, please do, I know I mentioned this a couple times, but just in case maybe some of the brothers and sisters might forget to do so. If inshallah you enjoy these live sessions and you find the content to be good inshallah, please do like the Facebook, the Mizan Institute Facebook page. Again, the point of that is to hopefully inshallah be able to get the word out to everyone, and inshallah spread the message with regards to this project that Mizan Institute is doing, and also that has to do with other projects that Mizan Institute is doing as well. Thank you very much. Inshallah, keep us in your du'as. And we will see you guys, inshallah, in the following days. Tomorrow, inshallah, Sheikh Amin will be with you guys. Take care. Wa alaikum assalam.